Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Conroe. I want to welcome you to our Sunday morning worship podcast. I am in week 7 of this with you, and it gets not any easier being separated from you. At some point during our worship today, we will take a time for communion, so I encourage you to gather those materials if you need to. Now, what I would invite you to do is take a few moments to prepare yourselves to be in a time of worship.
I set out on a narrow way many years ago, hoping I would find true love along the broken road. But I got lost a time or two. I wiped my brow and kept pushing through. I couldn't see how every sign pointed straight to you. And every long lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were just northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road and led me straight to you. I think about the years I spent just passing through. I'd like to take the time I lost and give it back to you. Just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all part of a grander plan that is coming true. And every long lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were just northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road and led me straight to you. Oh, straight to you.
Our responsive call to worship this morning is adapted from our lectionary Psalm 23. your response will be those familiar words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's begin. In trust, we gather to worship our shepherding God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're strong because our shepherd guides us day by day. The caring shepherd is always with us, so we will not fear. God's goodness and mercy will fill us all the days of our lives. So in this day, we lift our hearts and voices to worship God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Pray with me. God of life and hope, wrap us with these familiar images and words from Psalm 23. Help us to turn to you for the rest and for the care that we need. Faced with so many challenges, we come eagerly to stand before you, yearning for your tender, loving care. When we feel overwhelmed and anxious, calm us with your presence. Remind us in this hour that you fill our cup, let it overflow. Be our shepherd, loving God, and we will not want this day. O Lord, we continue our prayers to you by lifting up those on our minds and hearts who are in need of your graceful presence, the blessing of your gifts. Lord, we lift especially in our prayers this day those whose job it is to keep us safe. We, of course, talk about the medical workers and all those in the medical profession, but also those who help take care of us, who have opened the stores, who drive the trucks and buses. Bless them. Bless our volunteers who come to the food pantry and give of their time. Bless them with your graceful presence. O Lord, we continue to pray to you in the way that Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each broken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? and what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. Come through raindrops. What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments and the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
In our worship experience together, the acts of gift giving and the act of gift receiving, those two are tied together through our stewardship time and our time of coming around the Lord's table together. In these weeks after Easter Day, we're reminded again and again that Jesus' resurrection brought new life not only to Jesus, but also to the disciples. In Acts, we hear how Peter encouraged believers, both old and new, to live. What a joy it would be if we could model our lives on those early followers, spending much time together in the church building, breaking bread in each other's homes, and eating together with glad and generous hearts. Well, because of the global COVID pandemic, we are not able to do these first three acts, spend time together, break bread in each other's homes, or even eat together. But we can live out our faith by acting with glad and generous hearts. Question: how are you spending your days? Are you sharing time with those who are lonely, calling to encourage others? Are you generously opening your heart, using your talent to create and give away anything that might be useful or fun, reading online to children stuck at home? Are you acting on your concern for others by contributing your regular giving to the church and reaching beyond to support maybe a local business or restaurant, I find that we are ordering takeout food more than we have in a long time. Are you providing extra food for the food pantry? Or perhaps for the artists in your community who cannot sell their art? Know that your actions may be exactly the encouragement that someone else may need to praise God as he or she comes to join the company of believers. I will witness to you that Mary Louise and I are bringing our gifts to the altar through online giving. I encourage you to do the same. We give gifts in this way, and then we receive gifts at the table. Acts 2 has been considered by many to be an early description of how the church held their possessions in common. People who needed something were able to access it because of the generosity of those people coming together. And the baptisms mounted up. People newly baptized then devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, the communion table, and to prayer. What a wonderful, contagious reality is described in the book of Acts, especially when many believers today are separated from the community in an effort to, what do we call it, flatten the curve of this terrible COVID-19 pandemic. This image of believers coming together to encourage one another, sharing what they have, listening and learning from one another, praying together, this becomes a picture of the promise of what faith community truly means. So let's hold tightly to this. Like a dream, let it fill our minds and hearts as we in a few moments take the elements that we have and in remembrance eat and drink. Remember the resurrected Jesus sharing breakfast fish with his disciples on the shore. Remember the early disciples sharing good news and bringing thousands to be baptized. Remember our own congregation sharing bread and cup as we hold the plate for our neighbor and drinking together with glad hearts. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again, and he broke it, and he blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat that this was his body broken for them. In that same manner, after the meal, he took the cup once again, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." O God, bless these elements to our spiritual health and us to your continued service for Christ's sake.
Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He me white as snow.
The scripture lesson for today is the lectionary psalm, Psalm 23. Hear these familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this passage and John 3:16 are the most read, most beloved, most memorized, most embroidered passages in Scripture. Everybody's Bible is a little bit dog-eared at the 23rd Psalm. And shepherds have been an important part in the telling of our own faith story. The Lord is my shepherd. When we hear that, our hearts and our minds are already completing the rest of the thought, aren't they? Who was the first shepherd in Scripture? Well, actually, it was Adam. Do you remember in Genesis those words, have dominion over every living thing? That meant that Adam was the first shepherd, the first steward of all of life. His son Abel was the second shepherd, wasn't he? We read that Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a tiller of the soil. That story is so poignant and sad, but what it really tells us is that the storyteller, the who was writing that down, believed that God valued the shepherd more than God valued the tiller of the ground. And that's really kind of the way it was in the society at that time. King David was a shepherd boy. You know, the sling he used to kill Goliath was the same one he used to protect his sheep from wild animals or perhaps from human marauders. His stringed instrument, the lyre, remember how he used the lyre to calm King Saul's temper? He also used the lyre to calm his sheep. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And then finally, the introduction to the climactic story of the birth of Jesus. When God sent angels to announce the birth of his son, who did God send them to first? And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The audience for the greatest angelic choir ever was a group of night shift shepherds. What is there about a shepherd that is so highly regarded that even God would be compared to a shepherd in this morning's psalm? Shepherding is a lonely job. A shepherd must be secure within himself or herself. Only a shepherd can do a shepherd's job. Only the good shepherd, God, can provide us with the security in this life that would cause Paul to proclaim that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Only the good shepherd can bring such peace of mind. You see, a good shepherd brings peace to his sheep. Green pastures and still waters make for happy and secure sheep. God provides us in God's bountiful creation everything we need to live peaceful, fulfilled, contented lives together. We have to admit that it is our own sin of avarice or greed or pride or arrogance. Those sins have brought humanity time and time again to the brink of self-destruction. As the song says, when will we ever learn? A good shepherd's care is constant. You know, we try to find completion and fulfillment in things that just don't last. Like our possessions, you know, the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rule. Well, that doesn't last. Or our technology. Google will save us, or Amazon will save us, or Microsoft will save us. The ultimate techies will save us. No, they won't. No, they won't. Or our interrelationships that are built on power and dominance. Politics is rife with those sorts of relationships. God, the Good Shepherd, has shown us how to live full and contented lives. Living as Jesus taught us is the surest way to follow the Good Shepherd. Shirley loaned me a book recently. You know, Shirley, she is so much more. She is not the church secretary. She's the church administrator. She is my spiritual advisor, and she is everyone's majordomo. If you want an answer, call Shirley. The book she loaned me is not new. It's from 2012, and it is, I have to admit, an uncomfortable read. It's entitled Red Letter Revolution. The subtitle is What If Jesus Really Meant What He Said? It was co-authored by Tony Campola. Most of you know of Tony. And Shane Claiborne. They are both modern prophets of the evangelical movement. I want to share with you the stated values of that organization, the Red Letter Revolution. See what you think about them. One, all people are made in the likeness and image of God. 2. Jesus is the lens through which we understand the Bible and through which we understand the world in which we live. 3. Doing Jesus' work leads to personal growth and greater understanding. 4. Freedom comes through serving others, not power, not politics, not materialism. 5. Diversity and collaboration make us stronger, not weaker. 6. Wherever your power and influence might lie, it is magnified when shared and held by those who are poor, oppressed, and overlooked by society. 7. Questioning cultural norms is healthy and can lead to wholeness. 8. We respect and fight for the well-being of all people as children of God, especially those with whom we differ. 9. We embrace and work alongside people of different faiths, erasing the lines of us versus them. I don't know about you, but I want to learn more about this red letter revolution, because I have a sneaky suspicion that Jesus really did mean what he said. Acknowledging the Lord is my shepherd for me means acknowledging Jesus as the way and the example for living life as the good shepherd intends. Amen.